So, I'm now in Eugene in Oregon, and do you want to introduce yourselves?
I'm Mark Ross.
Kate Downing.
Nathan Moore.
Let's start talking off about Eugene then. It's a fairly small city, about 30, 40,000 people.
Springfield's about 35. Eugene is like 150 or 175,000.
It's lots of university here, but what are the sort of work is there in the locality?
The logging industry, which is on its way down the tubes. There's some manufacturing.
A lot of service work.
Railroads. There's a couple of railroads that come out of here.
And the county and the city are...
And the feds.
Which are pulling their money.
That about covers it.
Farming.
Some farming.
Out that way. Up north.
North of us.
Willamette Valley, you know, big farming and fruit growing.
And in terms of local issues, federal issues, worker issues, what sort of stuff is going on here?
It depends on who you talk to. There's conflict between those who believe that we got, you know, business is good. We've got to keep doing more to keep business healthy because you know, the trickle down theory sort of thing. And then there's those of us who believe with Edward Abbey that the philosophy of an unlimited growth is the philosophy of the cancer cell.
Yeah, downtown development's been a big issue.
Well, you know, they've ruined the downtown. I mean, the architecture sucks dead rhinos to start with. And they keep whining about why we don't have a downtown. Well, you keep building all these bloody box stores, you know, and malls all around the town, and you don't have any way for people to get downtown that's comfortable and park when they get there.
And fancy malls too. They're not. A lot of the stores. There's a gentrification going on. A lot of the, even the places are for rich people. I mean, mm-hmm. the changes in 2 years of what's accessible, mm-hmm. prices.
Yeah, and the rents for housing in this town are impossible.
And that was one of the issues with the alternative bookstore that was here. Hungry Head issues was the rent was like downtown.
Are there any current struggles going on in the town, like people organizing around stuff? Or?
There's been some immigrant organizing that's kind of in Eugene and outside areas. So there is the Farm Workers Union, which tends to be very progressive, and they have some activists here, especially because we have more and more of a Latino community in Eugene. So that's seen a lot of coalitions being formed between, there's a big march in Salem. For immigrant rights, that was on May Day, and I know a whole bunch of folks from Eugene went up. There's a lot of labor stuff around the university that comes up. University workers, I mean, that's one of the only living wage jobs around here, so usually that's either a strike or close to a strike.
Right, and those guys are at SEIU.
There's four colleges here. Mm-hmm. You know, there's University of Oregon, Lane Community College, Eugene Bible College, and what's the Northwest Christian College. Plus there's University of Pacific, I think they've got it.
Pacific University,
yeah.
There used to be more radical organizing. I mean, that's one of the... I've been here almost 10 years, and I've noticed that when I moved down here, everybody was a radical. There was so much all sorts of forums on dealing with the cops, and there were various different radical groups. You don't see that as much anymore as you once did. So that's a definite change. I don't think it's a very positive one. It's a big change in Eugene.
Why did that happen, do you think?
Well, post 9/11, stuff dried up a little bit in this town, and when I was in college, was really when I became radicalized, and there was more of a connection between the student groups and the community groups. So a lot of the folks that I know now as an activist, a lot of the organizers in town I had met while I was working, you know, student radical paper or doing labor stuff. I don't see that connection necessarily between the groups anymore. There's a little bit more isolation.
And I think also the fact that so many people from the Eugene area were jailed for environmental activism and those sort of activities, that it really did put a damper on the movement. Even though the movement didn't necessarily have to rely solely on activities that are jailable, it seemed to put a damper on everything.
And the cops around here tend to be a little
heavy-handed.
Yeah.
It was interesting because when we were doing this, I was in Missoula for Bay Day. They put a soapbox up at Front and Higgins, which is where the free speech happened 99 years ago. The free speech fight happened 99 years ago with the IWW. And the cops were starting to gather around. There was one parked across the street. A sergeant came showing up in a car with another officer. Came out, and, the hairs on my neck started to bristle. And he came over and said, "We're not out here for you guys." Because critical mass was supposed to happen that evening, right? The bicycle riders were going to take over the streets. He said, "As long as you don't block the sidewalk or impede traffic, we've got no problems. You can, we believe in the right of free speech. We're standing there with a bullhorn and a soapbox." And it went on for an hour and a half. But it was a big difference.
Big difference between Eugene and MP. There's certainly a progressive tradition in Eugene. I mean, there's people in town. One good thing about Eugene is there are some activists here who have been, they've been in town 25, 30 years, been doing radical organizing.
Well, there's one lady that comes to mind.
Peg Morton. She's been jailed in her 60s, and she's been...
No, she's older than that.
Is she older than that? Mm-hmm. Well, she was... Anyway, I went to jail, and she...
For tax resistance.
And she's,
She was in School of America.
But she's a tax resister also,
Yeah, there's certain local pillars of radicalism who have been around for a long time. Their philosophies and ideologies vary, but they're definitely committed. As a college student, when I started doing activism, that was nice to see those people, certain mentors.
There's a big Quaker community here as well, Quakers and...
Anti-war
and religious sort of coalition. There's an organization called ESSN, which is the Eugene Springfield Solidarity Network, which is a chapter of Jobs with Justice that does a lot of sort of union and community action.
This is CALC?
CALC, that's the...
Community, the Alliance of Wayne County.
Right. And then there's... What's the new acronym for...
I can't remember.
Lots of nonprofits.
Yeah.
Progressive nonprofits that have been here for years. So.
And in terms of the local anarchist movement, what is there to it?
Well, for me, I have to say I'm kind of, when I started being radicalized, I came from more of a, Marxist tradition, and I kind of stuck with that partly because I hadn't really been exposed to anything. I thought anarchism was, John Zerzan and primitivism. That was all you knew about in Eugene, so I didn't like that, so I obviously went to the other side. I think now that we, time's passing, and I think I find more people in town who are learning more about anarchism or class-based anarchism without that, it's all primitivism. There's you came through, there's been more talk about what anarchism really is.
The trouble is, a lot of people who call themselves anarchists are more nihilists than anything else. They're just against everything, and they don't have any positive agenda.
Certainly, a few people I met in the WOBS this year, young kids, younger than me, I'm reading all sorts of stuff, whether it's, listening to Phillips records or reading about Bakunin or, hearing history from, Mark are definitely is widening the idea of what anarchism is about. I think I really like that about this community. It's small, but it's there.
I mean, in terms of, say, people in Ireland or whatever, Eugene is known solely to the primitivist thing, basically.
Yeah.
That's its kind of reputation. I have the impression that maybe peaked, though, like 10 years back or something.
It peaked, yeah. And, Zerzan's still around. He still writes some of the primitivist stuff. Some of those groups are around. But I think, it still has had a lasting, anarchism. Oh, my gosh, that's got to be... A lot of the IWW meetings, is the idea of, anarchism's discussed, or there's a tradition of, anarchist organizers or labor organizers or people who knew those people. So I think we do get a lot of the history that we know probably comes from more of the IWW side, Lucy Parsons, Albert Parsons, Hennessy, Utah Phillips.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a labor importance for us. A lot of us come out of labor union backgrounds or student activism backgrounds that were really based around
working
class issues.
30 IWW members in town on the rolls and 15 to 20 active.
We've had some, you know, organizing in the past where there was a women's health clinic that organized. Unfortunately, one of the main places where the IWW has organized in town has been progressive liberal organizations. There was Eugene has a lot of progressive, basically hippies, hippie Democrats, you know, who maybe are business owners, you know, and they have nice environmental politics, and they're, you know, they want education and all these nice things, but when it comes to how they treat their own workers, they're exploiting them. And so we had there was a local alternative
the feminist bookstore.
Their workers organized and they fired them all, and they, you know, hired scabs. And this was the supposedly radical feminist bookstore. Also happened at a woman's health clinic where they organized, when they just, you know, shut the thing down. So that has been hard in this town when workers from quote unquote progressive places come and they want the IWW, and it's kind of hard to. It's a tough battle, but it's definitely a place where there has been a need for organizing in Eugene.
And I think that a lot of the mainstream unions, although they have, you know, a lot of them here in town are progressive in a lot of ways, they're not necessarily organizing new employees, or they're having a hard time reaching them with any message that sort of rings true to service industry workers, or, you know, which is basically what it comes down to. That's who needs to be organized here.
And maybe in an organic grocery store, but they're still getting, you know, overworked, paid shit wages, or you know, scheduled for not enough hours, and so we hear a lot of that stuff.
The question I'm asking everybody as I go around is what they make of the old U.S. election circus that's going on.
Who's going to get voted off the island? I think it's been a distraction for 2 years. Think of the things that have been, the economy's tanked, the war, you know, has just gotten worse, there's all this stuff, and it's just been a distraction. I heard a joke, but I thought it really, you know, was kind of funny, and they said, thank God for the recession, because it got those three people off the TV for, you know, a day. But there's so much else in the world than these three people. It's become this battle of personalities, or, you know, whether someone, and, you know, which campaign workers are going to get fired this time. It's become this soap opera that people are following. And it's hard not to sometimes get stuck into that, because it's on the news, it's everything, and you start paying, it's even on the alternative press, you know, you start paying attention to that, but it's been a huge distraction for on-the-ground organizing. And we know this, we know our history, that it's not that.
But it doesn't really matter. If you look into any of their campaign financing, they're all getting money from the same people, the same donors. And when they get into office, all that, you know, is going to
buy them access.
Yeah.
Well, what I don't understand is how you, and this is a problem with organizing right now, I think, in the U.S., is you can tell a person, you could tell an Obama supporter, okay, Obama's got, you know, $26 million in corporate contributions. His plan for pulling out of Iraq just means he's going to leave. He says he's just going to leave contractors. They're all not pro-Palestinian. There's all these issues. You can tell this to people who support, and you could show them the information and the facts, and they're not going to. That's a hard thing. It's hard to change the opinion. It's hard to get the supporters who are on that bandwagon, even if you have the facts or the numbers or whatever. It's hard to get them to maybe focus more on organizing locally or labor organizing or whatever. So that's been a hard issue with me, is maybe people believing that change is going to come this time from the same person who didn't bring it the last 50 times.
And then, of course, if Hillary gets elected, that means we'll have 20 years of the same two families in power.
Yeah.
At the same time, the combination between this election and everything that's going on with the economy and in the world, I have seen people paying attention to politics who I've never heard it from. I didn't hear it from the people at work until this election came, in combination with a war in the economy. So the question is, how do you continue to keep them active in politics?
Keep the dialogue.
You know, basically, yeah, they say it's the Obama bandwagon, and it is a bandwagon. It's people who are supporting this guy who have never even thought about the issues. How do you get them beyond that point? That's what I think we're going to really have to deal with, instead of, you know, going into what do we do once whoever's elected? How do we either push this person or or get people to see that it's not really going to change. Or I do hear people talking about. I hear people who say things at work. Now I'm a teacher, and I hear some of the other teachers, people who've been completely apolitical, are aware of things like the issue of the price of foods and the starvation that's going on in the world and the economy, the downturn here. People who are aware of it, who generally in the past, I have not known them as being people who paid attention to the news. So I think that's a really positive thing in terms of organizing.